Hey, this is Mango. You're listening to TSR.
TCR.
TCR?
TCR. The Center Ring.
That's what I said. I did say TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello, and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast, episode 117, coming to you live, pre-recorded, from an undisclosed location. We are back in our natural habitats, no longer at the Ticket Studios. But that's not going to stop this from being the best episode ever. The date, August 9th, 2018. The time, 8:35, 35 minutes late to our 8 o'clock scheduled time because Brett doesn't know how to show up on time.
No. Like I said before, I will take the L when it's my fault.
Let's take this. A show vote right now. Let's say, for those who think it's Brett's fault for being late, say aye.
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 Boom. You're drunk.
That is a clear landslide vote for Brett. So sorry, Brett, it is your fault.
I didn't mean a recount.
This isn't Florida, sir.
Dang, too soon.
Hey, took 117 episodes to do political humor on the Center Ring, but hey, it happens to the best of us.
We've talked politics on the show.
I would like
for you to pull that audio. I'd like for you to pull that audio where we discuss politics. I don't even know what the word politics
is. It was the video game violence.
Kind of political stuff. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
we did
it
get kind of serious
political.
There. You're right. All right, touche. Touche. Doesn't make up for being 35 minutes late, but hey, it's okay.
My bad. Not my bad. Sorry, not sorry.
Follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg, we'll have all of our other social media, our Instagrams on there, our Discord, a link to our Discord. Feel free to join in, chat some video games, or just life in general. We kind of are a chill crowd. And yeah, that's about it. I will tease this right up front, because I need to get listeners in on it, right? And I don't know how people listen throughout the show. We are in the works of getting a bracket pick'em challenge of our own for the upcoming Counter-Strike Major, and you will know all that as we know it if you follow us on Twitter at The Center Ring. Again, this is episode 117, best episode ever, because Evo happened over the weekend, ladies and gentlemen. Evo, the best fighting game tournament to ever be, that was
to bless us.
I would argue possibly one of the best esporting events in a calendar year. Right up there with
excited.
I love it. It's right up there with TI, Evo. I'll say the Overwatch League finals now, but that's kind of cheating. But those two, I think, are definitely top events.
I see your face light up whenever you talk Evo or like Summit or something like that, like Smash Summit, you know, like.
Yeah,
those types
Smash
of
Summit,
events.
The
like,
Big
you
House.
Geeked for that.
The Big House is another big Smash tournament. Those are, I mean, it's just because the backstories behind them and how they started out as grassroots, and especially with Smash, where it's like, for all intents and purposes, even Melee, for being how popular it is now, was done, right? Like, they had to reach out to the community and ask for, like, donations to host tournaments. And so I think it's just really cool on how you see now where Evo's been year after year. You know, just a weekend of the best fighting game, the best the fighting game community, the FGC, has to offer. So I thought it worked out perfectly where in a slow week of esports, we can spend an episode talking about it, right? Not just Evo. We're gonna get into some of the Evo or the Evo matches and everything there, but it, as a whole, just kind of talk about the fighting game community and everything that happened, because Lord knows drama happened over the weekend. So it is esports after all. They might be able to say they're different, but we all know there's drama where esports So I do want to start off. Let's start with some of the big ones that aren't really as drama filled. Street Fighter V. This was the first time I can remember at Evo, and someone can fact check me. It might be like one of the first time ever where Street Fighter was not the top build event. Like, it did not have the most contestants there playing in it. Only by like a couple hundred. Dragon Ball FighterZ beat them out, but
there's so much hype around DBZ that it doesn't surprise me. Like, for this year at least, we'll see how, you know, the trend continues year after year. But when that game dropped, like, that's all I heard about for so long.
Yeah, well, and it's because of, I mean, Dragon Ball, right?
Yeah,
like it's hard to
as a cult following.
Yeah, right. Like, and I'm one of
for
them.
For the show, and then,
you know, yeah, it's tough to knock on that. And then the fact that it's a 2D fighter game, which for the most part was kind of abandoned when Marvel vs. Capcom 3 came out, and it sucked, right? Everyone was, because Marvel vs. Capcom 2 was always at Evo, but then when the third one came out, you know, that one kind of took a back seat. Even like the prior year, it was losing popularity. But there is a crowd for the 2D fighting games, and Dragon Ball Z kind of helped fill in that gap, not only from a cultural standpoint where everyone likes Dragon Ball, but it's also a good game, right? Where, yeah, everyone loves Marvel versus Capcom, but the third one sucked, so you'll never see a community turn on a game faster than you will the FGC. So that one was dead on arrival.
Yeah, I mean, it's super fast paced, and it's entertaining. I got a chance to watch a little bit of it, but
you're talking about Dragon Ball? Dragon Ball FighterZ?
Yeah, Dragon Ball. Yeah.
And we'll get into that discussion later on in the show. But for right now, with Street Fighter, you did have Mouse Sports Problem X defeat Sonic Fox's, or not Sonic Fox, Echo Fox.
We'll get to him later.
In the, yeah, oh yeah, well, lots of discuss with Sonic Fox. But he did end up defeating Taquito in the finals. This was one of many bracket resets that happened at Evo this year, which is something the fighting game offers as opposed to. And I get it, because it's a short set, right? Like the finals, the grand finals lasted 30 minutes or so. So you can afford to do a true best of a double elimination tournament, right? Where in Counter-Strike, there is no such thing as a bracket reset in the finals.
You're not going to do like double best of threes to end it, like a BO3 and then a BO5 afterwards. Like, there's it would never happen.
You'll be there all day. So I understand the practicality.
Most games, you know, this is like, that's rare for the fighting game.
It's just what it is. But with the fighting game, you have that bracket reset, which just amplifies the hype, right? And in this one, you had a lot. I mean, in Street Fighter, the bracket reset, Dragon Ball FighterZ, the bracket reset. They reset the bracket in Smash 4 and then completely killed the hype, which we'll get to later on in the show. But nonetheless, Problem X ended up defeating Taquito. I wanted to bring this up last episode for the Overwatch League, where London ended up winning, and they stole the England's soccer team motto of "It's coming home," right? That was the slogan for this year's World Cup in England. It's coming home.
I'm not going to fact check you on that.
Take
your word for it. I'll trust you on this one
too.
Yeah,
I think you're right. Yeah, it does sound familiar, but yeah,
maybe not word for word, but you get the premise, right? They're talking about the trophy coming home. But then they lost. But now all of a sudden, everyone from England is adopting this slogan from a losing team. So, like, I always thought it was weird when the London Spitfire used it. But then they said it too for Problem X at Evo, saying, like, it's coming home. And if I were them, I'd be like, no. The team lost. Like, do not give me their catchy slogan. Like, it didn't work.
They should use, like, "I believe that we will win."
Yeah, there you go.
We will win.
We can't argue that, though. I mean, we do believe it. We just never do.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a cop out there where you can always say that one works out.
Uh-huh.
Let's skip to, because it's going to be a segue, Injustice 2. This was a Saturday finals. So you really have 2 days of finals. You have Saturday, where kind of the tier 2 games, if you want to call them that, play on Saturday, and then the big dogs
shots fired, Tim.
Happen on, well, I mean, it's
a little less popular of the game.
Yeah, they don't bring in the
numbers are less, so
I feel like Injustice 2 To be honest, I think the only reason Injustice 2 is there is because Mortal Kombat can't be there because it's just not as popular. But they need that Mortal Kombat style of game, right? And made by NetherRealm and everything there. So I think that's the only reason. I think it's kind of like a tip of the hat to them.
What is another really game that you would put in if it didn't, matter in terms of similarity comparing it to Mortal Kombat?
Right. See, I don't know. I guess what's going to be interesting is like when Soul Calibur comes out.
That brings back crazy memories. Just
right. Uh-huh. I know. Yeah. And they did an exhibition match.
There you go.
For it. Words at are Evo. Hard. So I didn't have 30 minutes before the show to warm up my pipes like some people, you know? So.
Oh, yeah. You're going to keep bringing that up.
But I feel like when that game comes out and more people want to sign up for that, you might see Injustice 2 sweating a little bit, staying in the tournament. You did have Rewind defeat Tweety. I was kind of sad. I think Tweety, everyone wanted to see Tweety win. That's a big old boy.
Oh, yeah?
Big old boy. But Sonic Fox, and the thing is he ended up defeating Sonic Fox, which is what put him in the grand finals. So that was...
You feel like you're there. You feel like you're right there.
Right. I mean, anyone that can take out Sonic Fox is instantly going to be a crowd favorite. Not because everyone hates Sonic Fox, but I mean,
it's an underdog story.
Yeah, he's the best, right? He's a fighting game god. He's a legend when he decides to play and put his mind to a fighting game. So when someone defeats Sonic Fox, then everyone's ears perk up and say, oh, okay. All right.
Literally ears perk up. Wearing hats.
That brings me to my next point. So Sonic Fox, he ended up taking third. He took third place like a champ. He got off the stage and let Tweety embrace his moment and everything. He was dressed up in his normal furry outfit. He no longer wears the head or hands while playing because he says they get in the way. But he was wearing the tail.
Obviously.
And the arm. Right?
Like, come on.
Only after he wins and he awkwardly shakes somebody's hand.
Dude, so this brings us to Dragon Ball FighterZ. An amazing, amazing first major tournament for Dragon Ball Fighter. They've been at DreamHack and everything, but really an amazing, amazing turnout for that game, for being its first Evo, right? If the developers play it smart, that game could be around for a long time. You know, just with the way the graphics work on it, it's not like it's some futuristic, realistic game. So I think they could easily just build off of adding heroes, doing balance updates, and don't come out with a second one for a long time.
Yeah, a good fighting game can stand the test of time. Look at Melee. It's been around forever.
Right.
So.
And even Street Fighter, right? You don't see Capcom pumping out a new Street Fighter every year. It's kind of like every 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, because it works, right? Like, it's just they're updating graphics at that point, like maybe throwing in a little bit of a different character, like storyline, but basically getting the same game.
Plus, for better or for worse, right? And we can almost get into a little discussion here if you boys want. The fighting games are plagued with DLC. Like,
oh, it's the worst.
You cannot buy a game for $60 and think, okay, I'm good.
I'm getting the game.
I want to buy this game.
A card game, in my opinion. Like, it's closer
like
to a
Magic,
card game,
right,
almost.
Is what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Magic or Hearthstone.
Right, but that's what you're
not
saying.
A character pack comes out.
I looked at Street Fighter because Tim's been trying to get me into Street Fighter.
For years.
And, like, I looked at him like, all right, so I buy the game. What else do I need to do? Oh, my God.
Dude, I did the math one time. It is astonishing. Like, and I'm not talking about, like, if we buy it now, right? We could get it for PC, and you can get it on sale, and there's bundles, and you can, go buy Street Fighter V Arcade Edition, and it comes with, like, everybody in it, right? I'm not talking about if you get it in now.
If you're trying to be a day one, though.
If you want to be day one, I'm going to get this game, I'm going to go pro in it. You got to keep up with all the different trends and different meta and balance updates and everything, right? And you have to buy all the DLC that comes out with it. When it comes out, you're dropping almost like $120, $150 on some of these games because they'll come out with two or three character packs for like $20 a piece. You're essentially buying two games.
I mean, not for ballers like us. But
are these games generally? They're not yearly releases. Most of these.
No,
games,
they're not.
You know?
Which is, I think,
so
one
that's one way of them looking at it compared to a Madden or something. You're not coming out the 2017, 2018, 2019 edition.
Right.
So make a little extra money, I see it, but it just feels steep. Like it feels like an expensive price to pay if you are trying to bring in a wider audience, right? Like to explain that to somebody who's not into that genre as much, it's a big barrier to entry.
Yeah, it is. That entry point is, it's like, hey man, you want to play this game? Because let's face it, fighting games with friends is a lot of fun, right? Typically because we all suck at them, right? Like I love them. I have an arcade fighting stick that I like to have displayed in my house because it makes me look like I know what I'm doing.
Try hard.
Bro, I think it hinders me, if anything, because I don't play it enough to know, like, what's going... I should just use a controller, like the American that I am, but, you know, when you see Daigo use it...
That's been my biggest problem with the fighting games in that sense, because I used to play them a ton as kids, and it's crazy to look back and say, like, man, I don't follow the scene at all, and why is that? It's like, when I was a kid, I was playing these games with friends, and that was it, and we were always playing together, right?
Me and my cousins would play Mortal Kombat all day long.
Oh, yeah! Street Fighter was, like, my jam for, like, 5 years, and everyone just used to come over, and we just played, and we played, and we played, and now I haven't bought a fighting... I mean, I did buy Street Fighter, like I said, the arcade edition, but in terms of, like, actually sitting back and playing one consistently, it's been years,
But you know what also makes the difference, right? In Street Fighter 2 or Mortal Kombat back in the day on Sega Genesis, there was no DLC. It was the game.
Oh, yeah. You had everybody. Well, there weren't DLCs really when I was even playing a lot of these games, honestly. Like, it's not like you'd be like, hey, come get the other part of your cartridge if you want the rest of your game. Like, you know, like, you weren't going to be able to do that.
Yeah, on the original Xbox, I don't think the fighting games... Because I played Street Fighter on Xbox, the original one. And
I'm hoping
remember.
A lot of this changes with Smash. I know we get into that later, but like I hope a lot of this, for me personally, changes when Smash Ultimate comes out, because I did buy a Switch for that purpose, and I'm super excited about that. So I'm hoping that brings back that feel that I had of playing those games, you know, when I was that age and really enjoyed them.
And we'll talk about that.
When you were a young lad.
And we could definitely talk about that with Smash Ultimate later on in the show when we get into the Smash games at Evo, because there is a fair point that I wanted to bring up there, because their starting roster is so massive, right? They're literally bringing back everyone and then some from the old games. So I wonder, like, how is their first DLC even going to look? Like, who...
If they even plan on doing it.
Yeah,
they might
say, this is a massive game, we can get away with it for some time without having one, but we'll get into that later on in the show. I don't want to get ahead of myself, because we are talking about Dragon Ball FighterZ right now and Sonic Fox. So, but to our point, to wrap up the DLC discussion for now, is that game does have DLC, right? And I have plenty of friends who wanted to get into it, but it's like I'm not going to go pro in it, and so I'm not dropping $100 within a game just to play. That's my rant on FGCs and all that, and DLCs. Bringing it back to Evo and the grand finals and everything here. So Dragon Ball FighterZ is, for the most part, a little wide open, right? Because there hasn't been big tournaments. And even when there are those big tournaments, you have different winners throughout. But Sonic Fox has always been a favorite. I mean, really, just anytime he decides to put his mind to the game, the dude is... Like we said earlier,
he's good at so many different games. Like, it's just crazy.
Yes. And I know there was the hate on him is, well, yeah, he was good at Mortal Kombat and Injustice 2. Who plays those games, right? Like, if you're going to be good at a game, then you should probably pick those two, because the community.
It's such a weak argument, though.
It is. I mean, you're still.
These games are at Evo. When he was playing them, they're big titles. They're the top titles. It might not be the number one title at the time, but when you're doing it across multiple games and you're learning character strategy, and
The longest time in Mortal Kombat Injustice 2.
Yeah. Like,
people could not touch him.
Some validation for him, though.
Yeah, no, this is huge, because this was the most popular game at Evo, and here he is standing number one, and everyone's super excited. You know, the American ended up beating Goeiji, and everyone should be excited. And then there's me, sitting at home, just shaking my head, thinking, this is our representative. So, if you don't know who Sonic Fox is, you have to do yourself a service and just Google him. Fair warning, he is the exact thing that I fear most introducing my non-esports friends to esports. Because he is a furry and proud of it. The dude walks up on stage in a full-blown furry costume. He started doing this maybe a year ago. Like when he's like full, like he used to wear the tail and it was like, okay, that's weird enough. And he used to wear ears and that was weird.
Still had the tail on for this tournament.
Oh, he's got everything now though. He's got the head, he's got the hands and everything. And, afterwards he tweeted out saying like, hey, I'm gay and I can whoop you in a fighting game. I'm paraphrasing, but that was the gist of it. And that sparked conversation of, man, this is great, right? Diversity in esports is what we need. This is what we need to be taken serious. And Brett and I had a discussion about this at work. Brett was very against his gayness, first off.
No, hold on. you're gonna get to it. Dude, I support the LGBT community. Don't put those words in my mouth. Brett, don't put that hate out there. Oh man. I'm like, what? No, sir.
We're making sure Brett was paying attention. No, this had nothing to do with okay, so let's just be clear. This has nothing to do with the gay aspect.
No,
okay? We're not talking about the gay aspect. We're proud of him for being open about it and being himself. So we're focusing on the furry aspect.
Right. I mean, diversity in that manner, like coming out, it's great. And the esports community, I feel, has been very accepting. Like Muma, well, outside of a few players in the Overwatch League when Muma came out, were, you know, kind of like a little homophobic. But I mean, it's good. It's good that these players are coming out. And I feel as a whole, the esports community is embracing.
Like, I feel like I've never had an issue with it. And I feel like it's also now becoming that way, though, as people are coming out. Like, it doesn't feel like as big of a deal as it was a couple years ago when an athlete or someone was coming out, right? At this point, it's like, okay, I feel like it shouldn't be news, but it's still
honestly,
is
like,
news.
I saw his tweet before I read all the articles. Like, Slasher ended up tweeting about it, right? And when I read his tweet originally, I was like, okay, like, yeah, you won. Like, that is definitely true. You could kick anyone's ass in a fighting game. I did not even like think about the being gay part. What I'm talking about is when Slasher said the diversity comment, and then everyone started talking about, yeah, this is what we need, is the diversity in esports. And I look at the other aspect of his life being a furry, and like not just like a closet furry or internet only type furry. Like, dude walks around in an animal costume all day, all night. In tournaments, no matter the stage, he's wearing it. And you
like
know,
IRL too, right? We're talking about like,
yeah, I'm sure that he doesn't just save it for tournaments. I'm sure that's just him. And I don't know. I'm not a furry, but I don't think that's just something you turn off and on. Like, I think that's something that's in there for the long haul. So, but my point is, before anyone tries to paint me with this brush, right? Because I've been very vocal about it, that it's just, to me, something that, and I'm like not even like afraid to say it. It's, to me, it's weird, right? There's no, I'm old school, I guess, whatever. But the fighting game community has always had made this argument where they want to be taken serious, right? They get upset at Richard Lewis. They get upset at E-League for trying to change Street Fighter and the way they handled it. And, you know, what people say their stuff about Richard Lewis all they want. And they always want to be taken more serious. They want to be in esports. They want to have the big money tournaments, right? Street Fighter gets it from Capcom. Why aren't other corporations backing up their games and developers encouraging people to play their game? And I'm not saying Sonic Fox dressing up in a fox costume on stage to accept his medal as it falls off his nose and he makes the second place guy, Goeiji, pick it up for him and put it back on his ear, is stopping anyone from sponsoring these big tournaments. But if you're telling me that people don't look at that from a corporate side and say, yeah, I can't market around that. Like, yeah, there's a community behind it that can market it. But like, I'm talking like ESPN is going to put that guy on and try to interview him in that costume. Do you not think that would become a huge laughingstock for people who, oh, you know what? A lot of people have told me about this esports thing. Maybe I should watch it. And then that's what they see.
I agree and disagree with part of this aspect here. I think from a uniqueness standpoint, it's marketable, right? Like, you can do some fun stuff with it, especially, I mean, there's things you can do with that to market it, right? And it, and it could be, it's him. Like, he's the only one that's doing this. It's not like there's multiple furries within the fighting game community, as far as I know, right? And I'll be honest with you, when I first saw him, I didn't associate him with the furry. I thought this was some kid whose name was Sonic Fox, and he was having fun with an outfit that he used, liked to put on to like put on a show, you know, and that's how I always saw it. So I didn't know the furry aspect until you told me about the furry aspect. And so maybe for that reason, it doesn't bother me, because I never looked at it as like, oh, this guy's making awareness to furries everywhere. I was just like, oh, he's doing something kind of fun with this, and this is like his thing. And like Jared, the subway guy with his big pants, or anybody else.
I feel like a big jerk. No, it's not. I mean, this way, but I'm just thinking it from like a, okay, you're saying you want to be taken serious and be more mature, and then this guy is your top dog. Like,
this is the guy that's constantly on camera and that they're showing. And if they show it on SportsCenter, they're going to show him and probably make fun of that in some backhanded compliment kind of way.
You can't tell me the fighting game community is 100% on board. I mean, you see it, right? You see, Brett, I know you've seen it because we've talked about it, where like there are times where he is playing sitting next to people and you could see that they're like, what is this guy doing? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, even like when he won Dragon Ball, he went to go like shake the guy's hand. Like, he had put, like, the fight ended, like the game ended, and then he went to go find his fox head,
his helmet,
and and then he went over to shake the guy's hand, and the guy was like, dude, just okay, I'm gonna shake your hand because we're on stage and a lot of people are watching. But you could just see the look on his face, like, it's a little disrespectful. Like, you couldn't do that and then go and put on your show, your furry show, you know? It's so I mean, that's what irked me. I was more upset for the guy that lost
than
him really wearing a furry costume.
No, I agree. It's like tipping your hat, right? Like, you shouldn't, you know, you take it off with a sign of respect. You know, tennis players go to the middle to shake hands, like, they take off their hat in that sense. And if you're at least going to be wearing a helmet, which is odd enough in it,
we don't even know what to call it.
A sign of respect, you should like have that off when you're shaking the player's hand. But yeah, I mean, I see both sides of it. Is it strange? Yeah, it's weird, right? Like, it's a pretty weird thing to be into, but whatever, to each their own. And that,
yeah, and that's my attitude about it. My, like I said, from him personal standpoint, living life, dude, do whatever you want to do, right?
Like, whatever makes you happy, do, right? From a marketing standpoint, I just see two sides to that. Like, yeah, it may stray away from some people because it's not the easiest thing to market, depending on what you're trying to market. But if you're trying to market the league and the competition, it's kind of a fun thing to show, right? Like, it's like these people in the fighting game community tend to be more into the anime style, right? Like, it's just kind of the way it is. And so it just kind of fits that group. Now, if you're trying to go more mainstream, like we're talking about here, that can cause other issues, but he's still marketable in my eyes in that sense. Like, I still feel like you could pimp him out and make it cool and try and make it a fun thing, as long as you don't have 20 players doing it, right? If everybody starts going furry, like, oh my gosh, we have some major major problems here. But one guy doing it,
when it turns into a fox fighting a squirrel on the main stage for the finals, that's where we need
when everybody in Melee is dressing up as their own character they play, like, that's going to be a problem. Like, if you're doing a cosplay competition at the same time as your championship series, like, there's a bigger issue.
That's
here.
How you know there's an issue.
But right now, I see it as one person that's having fun. Doesn't really faze me in that sense, because I never saw it as a furry thing.
I stated on the show that if I ever, like, find the drive and the time, like, let's say if my wife ever decides to divorce me, right, and I just got nothing going on in life and I'm going to become a pro gamer,
If she does it, do it before the WoW expansion releases.
I'm going to become a pro at whatever fighting game Sonic Fox is playing just so I could beat him. Like, that would be my motivation. And then I'm going to smack that helmet right off his face.
Like, I have some terrible, terrible news for you.
Take that out of here.
You will probably never, ever beat him in any fighting game.
It's called an open
regardless
bracket.
Regardless of the game.
It's an open bracket. It could happen.
You pick the game anywhere on your home turf.
So hard.
He has to play with his helmet, head, box head,
hands,
whatever we're calling
everything.
It on, hands, everything. Still be a quite the battle. The uphill battle.
No doubt. I have no doubt. I still would not stand a chance. But you never know. All it takes is one. All it takes is one.
So you're saying there's a chance.
But overall, like I said, awesome tournament for Dragon Ball FighterZ and awesome event and weekend for Sonic Fox. I'm not taking anything away from him. The dude is a legend at the games he decides to play. So I completely 100% respect that.
You just don't like him being gay.
Yeah, it's, you know, I just, why you gotta be gay? No, I don't care. I've said it a million times. I don't care if you're gay, straight, bisexual, transgender, whatever the hell they're going to want to be in 2019.
If you hit subscribe, we love you all the same.
Right. Just don't be a furry. And if you are a furry, just don't tell me. Just don't, like, let's leave that aspect of our friendship, you know, listener to show host. Let's just leave that locked deep, deep, deep down inside.
Fair enough.
All
right.
That's all I ask. Let's move on to the Smash portion of Evo, though.
Where sometimes it takes two to do certain things.
In Smash Melee, again, one of the more exciting parts of the weekend, HBox got fourth, Plup got third, Mango tied for fifth. So that leaves Leffen and Armada in the grand finals. Leffen has had an incredible run the last year, especially with his rivalry between HBox, who he did beat. Leffen was the one who sent HBox to the finals, and they hate each other. Like,
there's like an actual hatred,
like,
between them?
Dude, that is not fake. What, like, they will tweet at each other. Leffen will straight up say, like, he is a terrible human being. You go watch their old games, like, just from in the last year, and you can tell, like, when HBox beats him, because overall, HBox recently has been better than him. Like, it's not a friendly rivalry, but it makes it exciting.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. Like, there is no love between the two of them. So it makes it great, great entertainment to watch. But in the finals, you did have Leffen versus Armada. You had the Swedish final. Leffen ended up beating Armada in three straight sets. And really not a whole lot to talk about there, other than, like I said, it's really cool to see the gods of Melee kind of take a step back in 2018. I mean, you had Plup win Genesis, Leffen winning Evo. You're starting to see not so much like the old gods dwindle, right? Like, I don't think Mango or Mewtwo King or any of them are playing poorly. It's just now you're finally having what was always tier two in Melee really starting to up their game, right? So I think that's something that always is good to see, especially in Melee, where the game is, I mean, it's been the same game now for years.
25 years.
Yeah, so on the topic of Plup, when I was watching, you know, they did that whole thing where they had, you know, the top eight, the eight players on stage, they give medals, yada, yada, yada. What was up with Plup? Did you see that? Like, he was crying. Do you know what that was all about? He got third.
No, I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Like,
all
if you're
prize
asking,
money difference.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's not a lot of prize money difference.
I was gonna say it's Melee. There ain't no prize money
because he's moving over to. And, he knows he's moving over to Ultimate next year.
And
you don't get
and another
for
thing,
prize money in Melee.
This may be RIP Melee, guys, because I think they were using the last standing CRT TV. Did you see that TV?
Bro, they're all
that,
rough.
That thing
looking.
Was so dusty, and it looked like it was about to blow up.
Yeah,
I was like,
no, they
this
all
is Evo. Like,
that.
Like, you look at the back of the TV, and it's just got like dust caked on it. I'm like,
they're like trying to kill all the CRTs intentionally.
Just yeah, to finally,
I think they
put
are
this game to bed. Nintendo's like, you will play Smash Ultimate. No, I mean, EVO is a big tournament, right? And Plup has been having a really good year, so maybe he thought that he stood a better chance than third place. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's why he looked emotional, but again, it's just, it's one of those emotional tournaments, right? This is the tournament when HBox finally won it. He bawled on stage.
Oh yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
Like, bawled on stage when he like dropped to his knees.
On a scale of 0 to 10, how uncomfortable were you watching that? I feel like you're the...
With HBox crying?
Yeah.
And Tim cried too.
Oh.
Tim was right there crying with him.
No. Because for the longest time, I did not like HBox. I've kind of came around on him.
He's a good Twitter follow.
Yeah. I mean, he's just... He likes to talk smack, right? Yeah. Which is probably one of the reasons I don't like him, oddly enough. Oddly enough, the people who talk smack annoy me the most, but I also talk a lot of smack. You can't
shut your mouth for 5.
Right. Exactly. Like, if I was playing, oh my god, it would be nonstop. So... but no, you know, bro, you won Evo. Like, you can cry. You can cry if you win Evo.
Okay. No, that's a major, dude. That's like right. A big thing.
I mean, Leffen, you saw him pop off when he beat Armada, and I will say Leffen, and even going back to Street Fighter with Problem X winning, they won, they stood up, they shook and hugged their opponent, and then they mm-hmm. freaked out. Like, both yeah. very respectable ways to finish it off.
Yeah, Leffen got up, he did like little fist pump, he went over, you know, to Armada. Armada like said, no Leffen, come in for the real thing.
Yeah, give me a little sweet hug and then go celebrate. And then he did. So I thought that was really cool to see with Melee. You know. It is what
it's
it
just
is.
Just guy love.
Yeah. But there's not
this
a whole lot to talk
to you
about.
By guy love.
Other than Leffen winning Evo, like, that's really the big storyline there. What I really want to get to with Smash, though, is Smash 4, which is not something I thought I'd be saying, you know, a week ago when we said, let's talk about Evo on this episode.
It would have been like, let's say farewell
to
Smash 4. Like, that would have been the topic, which still is,
just with a little bit more meat between those buns. Because it was Smash 4. In the finals, you had Lima, who defeated Captain Zack. In the grand finals of what will be the final time you see Smash 4 at EVO. And I think after this grand finals, everyone will say, good riddance to Smash 4. Good riddance to its community. And, you know, may God have mercy on Smash Ultimate Soul when it comes out. Because I feel like, because most of the Smash pros for 4 are going to roll over to Ultimate, you're going to have a lot of negative stigma going into the game from the community standpoint. So what ended up happening in the Smash 4 finals, if you didn't know, Lima and Captain Zack are friends outside of the game. And the whole weekend, tensions were high. Smash 4 is already not a well-liked game. You know, it's kind of the stepchild of Smash and... in the fighting game community. Then you're using Bayonetta in the game, which is considered a overpowered, cheap character, and everyone picks her. So the crowd already is annoyed by that, and they start booing people who pick her. Because it doesn't make a fun match to watch. Like, it's just, they're not exciting to watch the matches.
No, we talked about Street, like, me and you talked about Street Fighter, where I feel like when I watch Street Fighter, I'm seeing a different character being played pretty much every game. Like, there's a lot of balance. There's a lot of, you know, variety, diversity, and you don't get that with this, which kind of sucks.
Yeah, you don't. And so a lot of people boo when they see a pick. Well, at one point in the day, Captain Zack flipped off the crowd because he was getting booed for picking her. And that really kind of started it, right? So in the finals, Captain Zack he was in the loser's portion of the grand finals, so he ended up resetting the bracket, which normally, again, is like max crowd hype, right? Like, if you're ever going to see a crowd get hyped at a fighting event, it's when the bracket resets, right? Because now it's a true winner takes all situation.
Yeah.
Well, this is what they did the very first game for when it reset.
Lost control of that set, man. He was up 2-0, and Captain Zach with the backdoor 3-0 to send us in the grand final set number 2. We ain't done yet, baby. Hold that gap, and get to the click light. Let's do it.
Bro, what is going on? What is this?
I don't know. I was stalling for time.
All right, man. Well, I really understand why this is the last Evo. last Evo was Matt and Maury. I mean, now you really get it.
So.
Hey, but. I'm hoping you guys are enjoying the commentary.
What is going on right now for 2 minutes, mind you, 2 minutes before someone from Evo went in and said, hey, you can't be doing this. They were purposely stalling the match, both standing on each side of the map, not doing anything. They were charging their gun.
Literally standing on opposite sides of the maps, looking at each other, charging up their weapons.
Not doing anything, purposely for 2 minutes. They were sitting there talking, laughing, yucking it up.
Interviews. They started interviewing them. Those casters came on stage, remember, and they were like, you know, talking about the game to them in the middle of the grand finals.
You are at the grand finals for Evo. We just mentioned people cry when winning this event. It means so much to other fighting game communities to win Evo. You guys are at the finals of what will be the last Evo of your game. And you're going to pull that mess.
I talk about disrespect.
Good riddance.
Yeah.
You don't deserve to be at Evo if you're going to do that. You don't deserve to be there as the player and as the game. If that's the best that your game has to offer, you don't deserve to be at Evo or any other fighting game event, for that matter. Like, I don't care if the crowd is booing you or doing whatever. You're a competitor. Like, that's part of it.
No, they should be, I mean, in my opinion, like, Evo should hold them accountable and come down on them heavy with some sort of, whether it's a one-year ban for them from going to next year's Evo. Like, hey, y'all can't attend next year's Evo. Whatever that may be. Maybe it's the first Smash Ultimate tournament or whatever, and these guys are really good at it. But you should find a way to put it on them, because that... Again, the crowd booing, cheering, whatever. The crowd has the right to do that. They have paid to come into the stadium. They can voice their opinion. That's what they're there to do. As a player, you're there to compete. And
it took an Evo rep to go on stage and show them the rule book saying, hey, you can't stall a match on purpose.
Yeah, he took the little tablet there and just like showed it in front of him. And they both look at it and like the guy's like, you can just tell he's like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
And like then they immediately, like, as soon as he left, they immediately started fighting. Dude, it's like,
no,
if I was
that
Evo,
2 minutes was enough.
Yeah. If I was Evo, I would have yanked them out. I would have yanked their controllers out, called third and fourth play, saying, you got 5 minutes to warm up your hands. You guys are playing in the grand finals now.
Yeah.
Because
I really wish they would have stepped in and did something like that. Like,
I mean,
or,
for the
like
fans,
I said,
like, think
take
about
it out
it, right?
Next year.
I understand that there is a contingent of people that don't like the game and don't like the characters being picked. Okay, and I get that they have whatever right they want to, right? Everyone has a preference. But there are those people who really do enjoy Smash 4. You know, I enjoy watching it. I enjoyed playing it, mainly because it was more convenient to play on a Wii U and I don't have a CRTV to play Melee, and, you know, I can't play Melee like the pros. I can pretend to play Smash 4. And so I enjoyed watching it. And then to do that, it's just like, I don't know. It's just, Anuj, you said it. It's just disrespectful. You know, it's to not only the tournament organizers, but to your fans. You know, thank God neither of these guys are on a team, like in an organization. Because if they were, if I was that organization, I would have been like, bye, man. Like, you play Smash 4 for us. We're not losing anything by dropping you.
Yeah, and I mean, it's a bad business decision on their end, too, because, like, you know, a new game comes out, and what if it is better? Like,
yeah, you
don't organization know. Is going to look at you like, yeah, you're the kind of person we want in our org. You know, it's like, no.
That's the thing. That's the thing with Smash Ultimate is, you know, Nintendo has been making a push with all of their competitive games that they want to become more esports, you know? At Evo... Nintendo teased that they were doing their Nintendo Treehouse on August 8th. Like, Nintendo actually set up a tease during Smash Melee's event to play. That way you would get the most eyeballs who are interested on it. Like, that you would never have seen that, you know, 4 years ago, where Nintendo is actually using their game, their fighting game community, as leverage to pimp out news. You would never see that from Nintendo. Take it 2 years ago. But within the last year, they've really started pushing their esports agenda. And, you know, I think you're really seeing that with Smash Ultimate, the way they're setting it up, the fact that every character is in there, right? I think you are going to see
every character, every stage. Like, there's a couple of characters that people, you know, still want essentially to be in there. But in terms of, like, I think stages, this is 109. And the next closest one previous to this, and I was just looking at the number a second ago, I was trying to pull it up, but I think it's like 56. 56 is the next closest game that they've had with the highest amount of stages.
Nintendo
that's
is putting,
pretty crazy.
Yeah, they are pulling out all the stops for this one. So who knows? Like, right? Maybe the Melee community does play this one at the same time as Melee. You know, Mewtwo King did it with Smash 4 for a while, where he played.
Hungrybox has been talking about it a lot too.
Yep. I think he's kind of seeing. Well, and I think it's because, yes, Nintendo is acknowledging Melee as far as using it to promote Ultimate, right? As far as like the time slot and everything, like I just mentioned. But I think the pros know Nintendo is not going to support Melee. They're not going to put up the big tournaments or prize pool into Melee.
What is the biggest prize pool Nintendo puts up right now?
Man, that's a good question.
For any game.
I don't think it's a whole lot.
Why aren't they dropping like a $1 million tournament for Ultimate? You want to get people to Switch? You make that your premier game? You want to make that your flagship game? Like, throw money at it.
Let's see.
You know, and I'm not talking about anything crazy. You're talking about a $1 million tournament. What is a $1 million tournament to Nintendo?
I agree. I would 100% let a tournament run it,
And you front the money for just the payout.
To look up. I mean, the only thing I could think of Nintendo doing anything for money wise would be like Splatoon, right? Or ARMS.
I mean, it's such little money is the point that I'm trying to make, though, regardless, right? Yeah. Like, you're not going to go find some crazy number here where we see a $500,000 or $1 million number. You look at Fortnite, they're putting $100 million into their first year. Like, again, I'm not telling Nintendo to put $100 million up, but you want the community to move over. You've made that pretty evident. You don't support the Melee game anymore. It's not like it's getting updates. Throw money at this, like, make people Switch because that's where people follow a lot of the time, is where the money is at. I know we don't like to bring it, like, it's not something we like to focus on in tournaments,
right?
But let's be real, that's what the players are focusing on a lot of the time, is where can I make the money.
Well, and I think also it's like you said, like, I mean, pros want the money, so you put a $1 million tournament in there and watch how fast all of a sudden you might
Everybody.
Have people complain about the game, but they're going to play it because that's what it is. Look at how many people complain about balancing in Overwatch or in Counter-Strike. Everyone does. That's part of it.
Yeah.
When you have that popular of a game, people are going to complain about balancing issues, but they're still going to play it and they're still going to buy it. So I don't know if you're going to see $1 million tournaments for Smash Ultimate anytime soon, but I do think you're seeing.
But I'm not even saying to do it as a, like, you know, semi-annual or doing it four times a year. You know, I'm talking about just literally once a year, host a tournament and draw in your crowd. Let it, like I said, let a tournament organizer run it for you. And
I was gonna say, they could do it at Evo. They could easily make Evo just saying, "Hey, Evo, how about you run it all? Here's a
and
prize
gonna,
for it.
Here's some money." Yeah. So it just kind of blows my mind that they don't do that. Like, they wouldn't lose anything. I think it would just help them. And then on top of that, with Smash U, I feel like it's really going to be a game that it's a streamable game, right? It's going to look good. It's something that's going to be catchy to the eye. There's going to be a lot of stages, a lot of characters, a lot of, you know, different animations within the stages that'll also look cool with backgrounds and features like that that we haven't seen in a Smash game in a long time, really, that like a high def, real good resolution.
Right.
So I think it's a game that could really do well for them if they just want to back it and support it a little bit more than they have done previously.
Let's get into some e-news. Pulling it up here. Some e-news to wrap up the show. Counter-Strike. Cloud9 officially signs Golden as their IGL. After his E-League performance.
Bob and Psycho is staying on until after Istanbul. Yeah. So,
but it's still in
September, right? Is
the until after the major.
Yep. Yeah. Until after the major. Dude, I don't even care who they sign at this point. Just give me a consistent roster. Like, it's so hard to judge teams when they're constantly having a rotating player base.
I think the major will have everything to do with that, whether they get a legend spot or they don't. That'll determine what kind of roster you see from Cloud9 moving forward. If they're not in legend status after this major with this team, I think you'll see a pretty big rotation going on here then.
Mm.
And in other Counter-Strike news, we lost a good one. Virtus Pro decides to change their colors to match their most recent sponsor, who I can't remember the name off the top of my head, but
yeah,
they are no longer orange, white, and black. They are green and purple.
I like it. This may not be a popular opinion, but I like the new colors. I don't know. Like, I wasn't really a fan of the orange.
I don't care for the colors. I'm okay with changing them depending on what kind of money is in this deal for your organization. Because let's face it, VP is not making their money back on paying Pasha and Neo and these guys a salary for as long
Mercedes
as they were.
That they bought, I mean, they were for them was
probably
a smart
dumping
investment.
Money.
At this point.
So if they're making bank from an investor and this guy's like, hey, this is my company, I want, you know, I'll change your colors. Are you cool with that? And I'm going to give you a ton of money. Sure.
I understand the logic behind it. I just think it's ugly.
It is. I'm not a big fan of the color scheme. I just...
No. I just think it's ugly. Like, bro, you want to pay TCR to change their colors? Like, the price is really low for that. But doesn't mean it's not going to be ugly.
Like fuchsia and, like, pink. It's like...
Magenta. I'll do it. In Overwatch... Siegel retires. He announces his retirement from competitive Overwatch again.
Yeah,
I think he means it this time.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's gone for realsies this time. I mean, it's good for him. I mean, I can't be mad at it. He's a great ambassador for the league. He had a little bit of outside of when the Fuel were just bottom dogs. He kind of went AFK or MIA for a little bit, but other than that, he's been a great ambassador for the league, and good luck to him and his streaming endeavors.
You'll look back on this as Siegel playing 1 year in the Overwatch League. You'll look back at it like when the NHL forced Gretzky to move to LA. You know, it was for the betterment of the league, and I wouldn't be surprised when the league was announced, someone went to Siegel and said, dude, just give us 1 year. Give us 1 year to play in the league. You are the most popular voice this game has right now. Give us 1 year.
It might have been like an Overwatch deal. Like Overwatch just being like, hey, just go and play for... I don't know. What? That's speculating.
But I mean,
he wasn't making the low end of the salary. I'm sure they paid him.
No. He was making the max salary. Yeah.
He was definitely compensated, I'm sure, pretty darn well.
Which is crazy because he probably sees himself being able to make more by making this decision, right? So,
right.
Shows the power of streaming.
Yeah. I mean, it really does. Your own schedule, making just as much money. So, probably doesn't hurt. Did you guys see the numbers Blizzard is reporting for the Overwatch League?
Yeah.
Okay. As someone who has to fluff their numbers, I understand... fluffing your numbers. I understand cooking the books to make your sponsors happy. But Blizzard, baby doll, sweetheart, you're gonna come at me and tell me the Overwatch League finals drew 10.8 million viewers globally over the 2 days?
They're counting logins that they have the autoplay in the game or whatever to see it. All of that counted towards it also. So
I mean, this is true. They included every
far-fetched thing that you could have included to get a number
boost.
This is what
they
said.
Blizzard reports that this number was reached through a combination of all of its official partnered streaming sites, including Twitch, ESPN, MLG, Chinese partners, They list some of them: Panda TV, NetEase, CC, yeah, Zonki. The finals were also shown on South Korea's MBC network on a delay. Among all of these platforms, the average minute audience across both days, minute audience, meaning at any given minute, this was the average viewing, 861,000. I mean,
whatever works, right?
You know, you're not lying. If you are showing the numbers, it's just, yeah, it's, you know, it's look, the power of when the own company is the one reporting it, right? You can make your numbers look as good as you want. So
Tim, they need to call you. You could have fluffed that up to 20 points.
Yeah, bro. Like, 8. What are you talking about? You know, always, you can always find a way to fluff that up. So it's, hey, I mean, yeah, it's pretty. The fact that they found a way to make that number is pretty impressive. So congratulations.
It's more impressive that they had like the courage to come out and just say it. Yeah. They'd been like, someone in the back would have been like, you know what, guys, like, let's drop this to like 6 million at least. Like, let's, right. Let's make this believable.
Make a little bit more believable, guys, right? Like, they're not going to believe 10.8 million.
10.8? The decimal in the wrong spot?
Oh, so that's insane. And this is coming from someone who loves the Overwatch League, right? But like,
yeah, not a knock on the league. It's no, just it's knock just, on how you know, you're reporting
your
numbers.
Throw, like, you're going to throw me that number? I want to see the numbers. That's what I want to see, that equation. All right, how many square roots did you have?
7 million.
Yeah. How much did you have to? If they average 10.8 million, we average 10,000 listens an episode. Let me tell you.
The sweatshop that was making Blizzard gear must have had that thing churning over there. Just a bunch of clickers.
It's all those bots that they got going on. They took all those bots from WoW back in 2004. Well, what a fun episode, guys. Who would have thought we could have done an hour just on Evo?
And everyone was on time.
Almost.
it was good.
We made it. It was still the best show ever, by far.
It was the best episode ever. It was. Thank you, Anuj, for your encouragement. I do appreciate it. If you listened through the whole episode, I love you. If you skipped around, I love you all the same. This is episode 117 for The Center Ring, a.k.a. TCR, a.k.a. your favorite esports podcast. It is done. Thank you again for listening. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to follow us on Twitter. Like, share, retweet, do whatever you have to do to make sure that we live on into perpetuity. Our website, tcr.gg. You can hit us up on Discord. We have a little email message there. Let us know what you think of the show. If you have show ideas, news, if you have anything, if you are an organizer, anything you want us to shout out, I'm all for homegrown esports. So hit us up on our website, tcr.gg. Again, we are working on getting brackets for the upcoming Counter-Strike Major, so we will definitely let you know when we know more information on that. Our normal streaming recording time will be Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Central. We'll try to stick to that as best we can. But for Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see you next time.